Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turning your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 11, God Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. God Himself did this. Today, there is a very nice move among campuses in particular where you have a lot of young people coming to Christ. Organizations like Turning Point have done a great deal to bring that about. And Turning Point and other organizations like them emphasize the need for this, that once you get saved, they encourage people to find themselves a Bible-believing church, and the reason for that is because there's a pastor there to teach you the Word of God. Now, God gave pastors and teachers. Now, that's not pastors and then teachers. It doesn't say God gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. It said some pastor and teacher. Every believer needs a pastor. Every believer needs a pastor. Albeit a lot of times people don't see their need because they don't understand spiritual things that clearly yet. Every believer needs a pastor. Now the pastor here, the word is poimenos in the original language. It's a shepherd or one who generally cares for the flock. And then there's teachers, didaskalos, which is instructors. And in between there, there's that little word and. Watch out for the little words. They often have big meanings. It's the word kai. It's a copulative conjunction with cumulative force. So it's not just that it's putting two thoughts together. It's magnifying the two by being together. And so what you have here is pastor teachers. Every believer needs a pastor teacher. It's one office, one function, a pastor teacher. So everyone needs to be shepherded, to be looked out for, cared for, by means of instruction, by a man who is a pastor teacher who has the appropriate calling and the appropriate gift to be a pastor teacher. That man necessarily needs to be trained. You wouldn't go to an untrained doctor. You wouldn't go to someone who simply likes to read medical articles to solve your health problems. You would go to somebody who's been to medical school, been properly trained by another doctor, and then is skilled in their own right in the practice of medicine. Likewise with pastors, you want one that is trained. Because if he's not trained, he won't know what to do with the scriptures. It's not enough just to read them. That's where it starts. It's not where it finishes. And so every believer needs this person. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the equipping of them. Equipping, katartizmos. Completely furnishing, completely perfecting them. Not only for this world, certainly for this world, not only for the testings that are coming, not only for the angelic conflict, not only to give you provision to go through the things that you encounter in life, but also then you are equipped for eternity. You are saved, and then after you are saved, you get equipped. It's the pastor's job to equip you by means of instruction. Then he also prepares you for the work of ministry. We've been called by God because we're reconciled to him. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, he gave us a ministry of reconciliation. We are there to reconcile people to Christ. This is something that is taught me, prepared for me by my pastor teacher. For the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. How do we function as the body of Christ? Well, the pastor teacher teaches me this. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is vital. In Ephesians 2:15 and 16, you've been made to be one person with Christ, the one new man with your Savior. That is your position, but the pastor teacher gives you what you need in order for that position to become your experiential reality. You need a pastor teacher. Everybody does. And then also that you no longer be childish in your thinking, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You no longer get confused when somebody says something like the church has to be purified by tribulation, therefore there is no rapture. Nonsense. The church is purified by the blood and the word. We've already been purified. We did not reject Christ. You see, the pastor teacher will teach you this. It's the time of Jacob's trouble, not the time of the church's trouble. And it's the time of trouble for the rejection of Christ. It's not the time of trouble for those who accepted him. Just like Noah could not be judged, just like Lot could not be judged, the church cannot be judged either. But it's the pastor who knows how to rightly divide the word of truth that can teach you this. Otherwise, you get all kinds of bad doctrine out there, and unfortunately, there is a lot of bad doctrine out there. There's also a lot of good doctrine by pastors who are very skilled in the Word of God. But then there are those who are also not skilled in the Word of God, and you don't need them. You need a pastor teacher. In 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder. That word master builder actually means architect. You want a wise architect. Wisdom is the skillful application of doctrine. You want someone who knows how to skillfully apply doctrine in building you. And skillfully instructing you so that you can be built in doctrine. I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The pastor is the one who lays that foundation for you. You take what he teaches you and you build on it with the doctrine that you have received from him. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, and then you apply the word. That's what Romans 1:17 is all about. When we have the righteousness of God revealed to us, God's relationship to us, you could paraphrase, revealed to us, it's from faith to faith. It's by faith that's built by the Word of God with a faith response following to the doctrine that you have learned. That's how the just live by faith. Now, you know that because a pastor teacher did the studying to reveal that to you. If you didn't know that, then you would never understand what that means, faith to faith, unless you have the skill to study it out yourself, which some people do. But nevertheless, for majority of Christians, you need that pastor to show you what that meant. The majority of Christians don't realize that the righteousness of God is talking about a relationship. But when you have a pastor who can study the Word of God, who knows how to rightly divide the Word of truth, he can tell you using line upon line, precept upon precept, strong hermeneutical principles, strong eisegogics, strong exegesis, that you're going to be able to have a relationship with God, and that relationship with God is your righteousness. It's spelled out in the Word of God, but some things you don't always get just by casual reading. Casual reading is important. Reading your Bible is important. But it doesn't replace a pastor. It has a different purpose. When you have a pastor, he becomes the architect of your faith. Now understand that your entire life with God is based on that faith that your pastor builds. In Romans 5:2, you enter into grace by means of the faith that your pastor has built in you. You go to the throne of grace in Hebrews 4:16 by means of the faith that your pastor has built in you. He is the architect of your faith. And so we don't ignore the pastor. We're not like those who are Lone Ranger Christians who say, I don't need a pastor. I read the Word of God for myself. I read my Bible. I don't need a pastor. Well, you may read your Bible, but you don't have anything going on with God. Because that all comes by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And how shall they hear unless they have a preacher? That's Romans chapter 10. So that pastor becomes a very vital person in your life, because in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But it's the pastor who builds that faith. So you need a pastor. A lot of Lone Ranger Christians out there, but they're actually fairly clueless as far as the Word of God goes. They may have some general truths that they read in the Bible, and thank God for that, but they don't have much, and I guarantee you they don't have much. Because God has determined that things work in a specific way. In 1 Peter 5:5, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Now the elder there actually does speak of the pastor in the original language. Be subject to the pastor. Younger is not of age. Younger is in position. Be subject to the pastor. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. How does He do this? In Psalm 34:2, the humble will hear and be glad. There's their exaltation, joy resulting from hearing the Word of God in humility produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit in me in John 15:5, and therein is my exaltation. And so, when I hear the Word of God, it produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit in me, and this is how God lifts me up. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is powerful stuff. This is the stuff that manifests the life of God, the love of God to me, through me. And this is the stuff by which I live. This is the stuff that gives contentment and meaning and purpose in my life. This is where I am conformed into the image of His Son by having the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is where I find the purpose and meaning of my life is in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so the pastor builds that fruit of the Holy Spirit in me because it comes by faith. John 15:5 says, if I keep myself in the love of God, who teaches me the love of God? The pastor teaches me the love of God. He draws me to the love of God. If I keep the Word of God in my frame of reference, where does that come from? The pastor teaches me the Word of God. The pastor develops my frame of reference. Then I bear much fruit. And in verse 7, I ask what I will, and it will be done for me. Very important person in our lives, the pastor teacher. You don't want to do without him. You can't do without a pastor teacher. Your life with God doesn't amount to much without the pastor teacher. It's not that the person is anything, and it's not like certain religions where you have to go through God, through some man, some priest. No. The pastor is the architect of your faith. He's not the go-between between you and God. He's the one who shows you how to have a relationship with God, so you don't need a go-between. Christ is the only go-between. It's interesting that certain ecumenical churches, one denomination in particular, taught people not to read the Bible. Why? Good question. When I have a pastor teacher, that's when I start to get a relationship with God. It's not through the pastor. It's by what he equips me with. Just like if I want to be a heart surgeon, I worked in an emergency room for 10 years, and our particular hospital did a lot of heart surgery. That was the regional heart center. So I met a lot of heart surgeons. These guys would go to residency for 12 years after getting their medical degree so that they can learn how to actually be a heart surgeon. They worked under another heart surgeon, learning from that surgeon for 12 years. Pastors are like that. I go under a pastor and I learn how to have a relationship with God because the pastor himself must have a relationship with God to be a qualified pastor. He must be skilled in the Word of God. He must be skilled in the love of God. He must be skilled in hearing from the Holy Spirit of God, not in subjectivity, but when the Holy Spirit speaks, he hears him. That's Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. And so I need this person in my life to train me, to teach me. Even if I never become a pastor or a missionary, something like that myself, doesn't matter. I want a relationship with God just because I'm a human being. And the pastor is the one who imparts that relationship to me through the things that he teaches me. You can't do without a relationship that you were designed for. And the pastor teaches you how to enter into it. In Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, and that word vision actually means divine instruction, instruction in the Word of God. Where there is no instruction in the Word of God, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps doctrine. The law there speaks of doctrine. Now, reading is important for substance. Reading is highly valuable. Read your Bible. By all means, read your Bible. But it doesn't do the same thing as hearing from a pastor. Reading builds substance, content in your heart. But it requires no humility. It requires no application of the doctrine. It requires no rightly dividing of the word of truth. In other words, it requires no deriving of doctrine. Rightly dividing the word of truth means knowing how to skillfully derive doctrine from the word of God. It also invites private interpretation. It leads to something that's very dangerous. And sometimes you encounter people who suffer from this. They read, but there's no submission to a pastor. There's no doctrine. There's simply some content. There is the letter of the Word of God. And they start making one mistake after another because they don't know how to skillfully apply the Word of God. They've just read it, but they don't really know what to do with it. They have content without wisdom. This is what I call book dumb. You've heard of book smart? There's also a book dumb. I used to encounter this when I was a teacher. You'd get a kid and they would learn just a little bit. Maybe they would read something somewhere and they would learn this fraction of a little bit. But all of a sudden, they thought they knew what there is to know. Book dumb. There was so much more. But they thought they had it all, but there's so much more. Well, you know, not having a pastor and simply having content from the Bible can do the same thing. That content is valuable. Don't get me wrong. By all means, read your Bible. But not at the cost or not as an excuse to not have a pastor. You become book dumb. You don't know what it means. It's like that example we used earlier. If you don't know what it means, for example, that if you want friends, you must show yourself friendly. And people will preach that. It's not saying that you have to be friendly if you want friends. That's not the original language at all. That's actually saying, if you want friends, if you have many friends, you're going to compromise. But unless you know how to rightly divide the word of truth, and that one isn't even very hard, unless you know how to rightly divide the word of truth, you're not going to get that. You're going to think, oh, I have to be friendly if I want to have friends, and then you're going to start compromising all over the place with truth just so you can have friends. Well, that's what it says. If you want to have a lot of friends, you're going to compromise truth. So it's not promoting it, it's actually opposing it. If you don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth, and most people without a pastor teacher will not know how to rightly divide the word of truth, you got to be trained for that, then they're going to go with bad doctrine. Bad thoughts, wrong thoughts, mistakes. They become book dumb. Romans 10:14 says, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You can't hear without a preacher. The word hear in the original language there is akouo. People will take verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, and they say, well, you need to read your Bible and you can have a lot of faith. Not quite. Again, read your Bible. It's valuable. Different reason. Akouo means literally the auditory sense. So what it's saying is literally what it means. Faith specifically comes by hearing and hearing by the word. This is very important because that faith in Romans 5:2 is what brings you into grace, including in Hebrews 4:16, the throne of grace, which is the government of God in our lives. We're not going to have a clue what we should do, how we should think, what to decide, what to do in challenges. We're not going to have a clue unless we are at the throne of grace. How do I get to the throne of grace? Faith. How do I get that faith? Hearing of the word of God. How do I hear the word of God? I need a pastor. You have no life going on with God without a pastor. You have a coexistence. You may even have an appreciation of God. You may have an awareness of God. And you may even be saved. But how do you become the experience of one new man with Christ, without the mind of Christ, which is imparted to you by the pastor? In Romans 4:16, it's a faith that it might be of grace. I can't even touch grace without the pastor, because there's no faith. Well, I believe God, so do the devils, and they tremble. Show me what happens when the real challenge comes. In Ezekiel 34:5, they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Demons will take advantage of those who have no pastor. And those who leave the pastor they are called to, Satan will make them into casualties. I've seen this happen to people, fortunately not a lot, but enough. You walk away from the pastor you call to, you become a casualty. Satan will make sure of it. Why? Because your shepherd is gone. He's the one who cares for you. He's the one who takes care of you. He's the one who watches for you. He's the one who covers you and protects you. The shepherd is gone. You may continue in your religion, but the shepherd is gone. And what you had once as a real life with God is no longer present in any active form. The shepherd is gone. I've seen people leave their pastor and eventually start to deny Christ altogether. I don't know if they were even saved. Maybe they were. But how do you know? That's what happens when the shepherd is gone. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey those who have rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls." Somebody online will say, you're telling people to obey you and you're trying to get power and authority and rule over people. Oh, you're wet behind the ears. You obey them for your protection. When the doctor says, take this medication, it will keep your heart healthy. If you have any sense at all, you listen to the doctor. Because the medication he gave you will keep your heart healthy. There are those people who say, what does the doctor know that I don't? And they don't take the medication. And eventually their heart is not so healthy. You obey them who have the rule over you. The pastor is part of God's table of organization. And so he does that, number one, so that you will have someone to teach you, an authority who has the ability, the gift, and the call, the skill to teach you, to care for you, to watch out for you, to train you, but then also to sustain you. Every human being can go sideways, and the pastor will be there to correct or to encourage. We all need that. And so God provides it. He provides it through the pastors. Pastors are worth their weight in gold if they're worth anything at all. Because they teach you how to have a life with God. And the ones who don't, those are the ones who aren't worth anything at all. Obey them that have the rule over you and be submissive, for they watch for your souls. We need that because we have an enemy. He goes about seeking as a roaring lion whom he may devour. As those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Now, in 2 Corinthians 11:2, there is a part in the scriptures that some people don't even know exists, and then there are those, and I was shocked when I heard this, that once believed this and then stopped believing it. It says there, "I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a pure virgin to Christ." The pastor presents you to Christ. I remember years ago I was talking to a pastor who once believed this, and then he said to me, "I don't believe this anymore because it's not in Hebrews chapter 13. Well, no kidding. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Not the same chapter. Yeah, that's true. It's not the same chapter. Now, just because there's some confusion, I suppose, somewhere out there about this, let me read for you what Barnes says. Barnes is one of the premier commentators. The allusion here, according to Doddridge, is to the custom among Greeks of having an officer whose business it was to educate and form young women, especially those of rank and figure, designed for marriage, and then to present them to those who were to be their husbands. And if this officer, through negligence, permitted them to be corrupted between the espousals and the consummation of the marriage, great blame would fall upon him. The pastor presents you to Christ as one who has to watch for your soul so that you would have a healthy relationship to Christ, so that your relationship would not become corrupted through something like false doctrine. And the pastor then must give an answer for the believer that is assigned by God to his church. As a pastor, you have to take this extremely seriously. Now, if I as a pastor teach something and the people in my church don't go with it, then it's their responsibility. I taught it. But if they fall into sin and I'm not a watchman either to correct the sin or I don't teach the subject at all to prevent them to ever having had fallen into that sin, then the responsibility becomes mine. As a pastor, I'm far more concerned with what God thinks about me than with anybody else, including anybody in my church thinks about me. Because what I want to hear as a pastor is, well done, good and faithful servant, not, why didn't you teach it? Which is going to be the question in some cases for some people. You need that pastor. He's the guardian of your soul. You need that pastor. He's not a go-between. He's not there to replace your relationship with Christ. He's there to teach you how to have one. In Psalm 10:17, Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause their ear to hear. God is going to test your humility from time to time. And he's going to test it with how you respond to what the pastor teaches in the pulpit. He's going to see if they're humble. And if the person is humble, God will build them in grace in James 4:6. And if they are not humble, God will oppose them with military opposition. But the testing frequently comes through the response to the pulpit. So when I hear the word of God from my pastor, I hear it in humility and I receive it as what it is, the word of God. Paul commended the Thessalonians for this, that they didn't receive it as the words of men, but as it was, the word of God. If the pastor in Revelation 2 and 3 is hearing from the Holy Spirit as he's delivering the message, then he's delivering God's message. That's one of the things about a good pastor. He has to know how to hear from the Holy Spirit if he is indeed to be a pastor. It's not difficult. You just have to be available. Then, once the Holy Spirit has given a message, people will be tried on that message. Will you respond to it or won't you? Have you ever noticed that the message comes and that week the test comes on the message? That happens fairly frequently. I guarantee you when we preached that message a couple weeks ago about not being offended, I guarantee you things happen in your life that would offend you. Why? The test comes. Will you respond to what the pulpit gave you? If you do, you will grow in grace. That's the purpose of that test. In 1 Peter 5:2, pastors are to shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not by compulsion, but willingly, not eagerly for base gain, but readily, nor exercising lordship over the ones allotted to you, but becoming examples to the flock. Pastor is not your Lord. He's your teacher, and he's your covering. He's the architect that builds your faith so that Christ can be your Lord. He teaches you to respond to him. He shows you how that works, but he can't do it for you, nor should he ever try. Sometimes people come to pastors and they want them to make decisions for them. Don't ever come to me asking me to make your decisions. I will not do it. I can give you counsel. I can give you advice. I can give you what the Word of God has to say. I can give you what I receive from the Holy Spirit. But I will not make your decisions for you. Those belong exclusively to you. Anybody, pastor, priest, anybody, who tries to be that intermediate between you and God, they're standing in opposition to your relationship to God. I'm not there to be the intermediate. I'm there to show you how. And that's it. Don't ever ask me to make your decisions, because I'm not going to. I can't. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3:12, if anyone builds on this foundation, remember, this is the foundation the pastor laid as the architect of your faith. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, that is to say, faith, redemption, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, or with wood, hay, and stubble, old sin nature, emotionalism, and aborting those things that you started but never finished, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work, what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. The pastor equips you, but it's up to you to use what he has equipped you with. He'll teach you the doctrine, and he'll teach you how to apply it. It's up to you to apply it. When you apply the matters of faith, it's credited to you as gold. When you apply the matters of redemption, things like forgiveness or mercy, it's credited to you as silver. When you apply the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23, it's credited to you as precious stones. These are some of the most valuable rewards in heaven. The pastor is not just teaching you how to have a relationship with Christ. He's also preparing you for eternity so that your eternity will be abundant with reward. Now, the thing about it is, how you build on that foundation is your decision. If you build on it with faith, redemption, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you'll do exceedingly well. If you build on it with the old sin nature, or with emotionalism, or you never follow through, you don't have any stamina, spiritually speaking, to follow through on things, and you suffer loss, you will be tested on it. The fire isn't in heaven, the fire is in time. You will be tested through the fiery trial. And if you apply what you were taught in faith and redemption and the character of God, then you will do exceedingly well, and that will stay with you for eternity. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."